Welcome to season 2 of the Santam Insure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Mapaloma Aku.
And me, Maya Fisher-French. Now, over the last 9 episodes, we've had a lot of conversations about money and finance and giving you some insights into your own finances. But what we wanted to do today is to really reflect on the journey of the last 6 months with the mentees that Mapalo and I have been working with and some of the themes that have come out and some of the lessons that Mapalo, quite frankly, we've learned.
Yeah.
What for you was the biggest theme that came out this year?
I think the overarching theme for me this year, Maya, was the fact that money loves it when people are in control. Whether you find yourself in a really difficult financial position or you're on the other side where you do have a little bit of extra, but when you have control and you know exactly what you're doing with your money, it has been one of the most powerful lessons, even for myself, right? So I'll give an example. One of the mentees joined the program even though she was already under debt review. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, how am I going to help her? She's already under debt review, right? And when I first spoke to her, she said, you know, I'm under debt review, but I'm here to learn everything else because I know for sure that I'm going to get out of debt review. I know the date on which I would have paid all of my debts. I said, wow, incredible. That was one. So as we are doing the group sessions where we are talking about the different topics, teaching them different topics and engaging and asking, doing Q&As, she phoned me, I think 2 months ago, and she said, you know what? I'm about to get a promotion. And it's a big one. When I say it's a big one, it's a big, big, big one. And I was so excited for her. And before that, she said, even before I received that first paycheck, I want to know how to allocate it so that I can get out of debt review much quicker. Mm. But even with the other half, I want to start my emergency fund. Mm.
So she immediately knew. So you see, she was in a place now where money, she could start directing it. I had a very similar experience with one of my mentees where we went into debt review. So he joined it and we realized that when we looked at it, that he needed to go into debt review. There was no other way to get out of his financial position. It was hard. It's not easy to make that choice. But the same thing happened. As soon as he went into debt review, he got a promotion. And suddenly it starts changing how quickly he can get out of debt review. It's allowing him to, he now has extra cash that he can start the emergency savings, he can start investing. And we're seeing this over and over again. I have another mentee who also, once we started her planning and she was managing all her, you know, paying off her debts, her brother, who lives overseas, came out to visit and she was telling him all about the money boot camp. And he said, wow, what you're doing is amazing, and I can see that you're taking control of your money, and he has paid off her debt.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe it? And he said, because I can see that you're taking control. So, yes, money loves it when you take control, and amazing things happen. And Mapalo, we've seen it this year, we've seen it before, and I know in the many years that I've worked on Money Makeover with City Press, I would see the same thing happen over and over. When you start to take control, money loves you.
Yeah. And I think, Maya, it's more than just about taking control of the money, right? Because one thing I've seen when there's chaos in your life, because it transcends into different parts of your life, it impacts your money. Money does not want chaos. It wants you to know that I'm paying off my debt, I'm investing, I'm saving, then it's able to flow, right? For me, it feels like you know, that's why I think we always start with the psychology of money when we do the bootcamp, that it is more psychological. The minute you get your thinking right and you start doing the right things, money flows. It does not flow to chaos.
But also, you know, I was thinking about both of these people getting promotions. I wonder if there isn't also an element that you're showing up at work better.
Yes.
Because now you don't have that stress of financially chaos. You're starting to present at work.
Maya, you know, one of the things she said, that before she would go to her employer and ask for, what do you call it? Like when you get money beforehand.
In advance.
Yes. And now she says, I don't. But literally there is something very powerful once you do not live in chaos that happens even with your money.
But it's, you know what, we're also making this sound easy and it's not easy. Yes. I mean, certainly in my case, with my one mentee had to go into debt review, it took a lot of guts to take that step. So I think we need to talk a little bit about how hard this process is.
Oh, yeah. I had one mentee, Maya, for the first 2 months of starting the program, they would come on and you can see that they're sort of in the background. And when we had our one-on-one, I would say, okay, send me this stuff. You know, it's always a struggle getting, you know, their benefit statements, their debt statements, all of the financial statements that they have. And it took 2 months for them to send me these documents. And I remember just being on a call with them one time and they said to me, I'm scared. I'm actually terrified. And I could even hear the lump in their voice when they were finally able to say it. I'm afraid to look at just how much debt I have created. And it took even more, I think about 3 weeks. So you do know that I sometimes shout at the mentees. I do. But it's for their benefit. I said, do you want this program to work for you or not? And you are just going to have to rip the bandage open. And one thing that I realized about that mentee specifically, they thought that by getting into the program, they had to be perfect. And I think a lot of people suffer from that, that they have to be perfect from the get-go. I said, no, the whole point of this program is that we take you from where you are, walk on a journey with you to make sure that you understand how your money works, to start put a plan in place. And literally, you could hear the relief in their voice when I said, you're not going to get it all right at the same time. Even if it's $100 extra towards that debt that you do have, it will make a big impact. And just the relief, and they keep on coming back. They are one mentee who just keeps on coming back. Every week they send me updates.
And it took...
Yes, it took 2 months.
2 months to get to that point. Exactly. And I think that is real. And that really is. And, when you were talking, I was reminded of a survey they did of people. And they said, would you rather put a picture of yourself naked on Facebook or put your bank balance and your finances on Facebook? And more people said they'd rather have pictures of naked on Facebook than reveal their financial situation. So it is very real. This fear is very, very real. So for me, one of the themes that came up a lot was the impact of your partner on your finances. Who you marry and who you partner with, let me tell you, is very, very strategic when it comes to money. I had both of those. I had an amazing couple. He joined every single session. He was fully on board. And you can see they are building wealth together. They have a plan. And it is an amazing thing to watch. But then, of course, I had somebody whose partner's not on the page, who is, unfortunately, has their substance abuse issues, not playing the game, destroying wealth. And how do we deal with that? That is very real.
That is a very real one, Maya. And I have a mentee exactly going through something similar where it's even gone to other forms of abuse, right? And again, it has created this chaos in her life, right? They have a child together. He doesn't really pay maintenance. And so it's always trying also to find the fine line between you being a counselor, right? And being a money coach and working the journey with them. And sometimes we do outsource and say, hey, perhaps you do need to see a psychologist, someone who can really deal with the raw emotions of what's happening. But it does impact their finances. If you have a partner who is not contributing to the well-being of your child, it means now more money is coming from you, even though you're trying to fix your finances. But I am happy to say, because we've been walking this journey together, they were able to pay off their debts. So at least they freed up the money to be able to do other stuff that their partner is not doing at the moment.
But I think partners are really a big challenge. And I think for many people, often it actually starts with some sort of marriage counseling to try and resolve some of those issues. And I think if your partner's not prepared to even start talking to you about money or revealing their financial position, it's a very big red flag. In fact, I would say that entering into marriage, before you get married to someone, if you cannot have money conversations, it is not going to end well. It really isn't.
And the thing about being married or in a partnership, things compound, right? If you can't have those conversations, you are going to have bigger problems around your finances. So effectively, who you marry or who you decide to partner with, it is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make, not just for your well-being, but your finances as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that you and I were chatting about is where a lot of the times you do see the woman, if she's got a child with the partner, but she wants to be independent of
him. Oh, yeah.
And then she doesn't want to ask for financial support because for the child, because if she asks for that support, that gives them some kind of emotional leverage. That's also another big challenge.
It's a very big challenge. And I think for me, that's when we can say, let's take a look at what does the law say?
Mm.
What does the law say? Every parent, no matter who you are, you need to take care of the people you've brought into the earth.
Mm.
So sometimes we even consult with lawyers to say, you have to have something in writing, right? It's not about you want something from this person. This is for their child. Mm. And, you know, it's laughable, actually, Maya. It is absolutely laughable, the amount that people will say, oh, I'm giving my child X amount. And yet they spend so much on themselves. Do you know how much it costs to have a child and to make sure that you're running a successful household? It is absolutely laughable. And anyone who is listening, I know I'm shouting now.
You did on your high horse, yeah?
Yes, I'm on my high horse right now. If you have a child and you're not supporting them, I have a very specific word for you, but I will not say it here.
What really bothers me, okay, maybe we just, is that unfortunately most of the time the child is living with the mother.
Yes.
And a mother doesn't get to say, I can't afford to put food on the child's, on the table. How does a father get away with it? And we see this in the maintenance courts. It's like, well, I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't have that choice. So yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot more work needs to be done.
Yes,
needs to be done on supporting children.
Yeah.
But another one that also came up, I think, is, you know, we often, people who join these programs are often in financial difficulty.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have... which Mapta and I do have to tell you, we really enjoyed it. We've got people who do not have financial difficulties and they just want to do more with what they have. But sometimes they find it, these types of people find it difficult to actually spoil themselves.
Oh yeah, I have exactly someone like that. And I think it goes back to money personalities. Mm. You know, what is your money personality? And I would say the specific mentee, she is a saver. Okay, she does not want to spend a penny. And I remember we were in the session together and she says, oh, you know, Mapalo, I wanted to increase my pension fund contribution, but I was looking at it that, you know, I'll be left with a very little amount at the end of the day. I said, what is the point? Why are you doing this? What are you scared of? Right?
And she said, so she's totally maximizing out more than she needs.
Maya?
And I think about Vanand's, our interview with Vanand in our last episode, know the number.
Exactly.
But if she's saving more than the number.
Yes. She's doing all the right things. She has her pension fund. She's matching what the employer's contributing. She increases it every year. She has a retirement annuity. She has a discretionary fund. She has life cover. She has, you know, income protection. She has the basic stuff and she's very young. So she is starting off on the right foot. But she wanted to do more. She was saying, oh, no, I want to increase by X amount. And I said, but it leaves you with absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing at the end of the day. And I said to her, it's okay. You're on the right track. What is it that you want to do for your birthday next year? She's turning 25. I said, yeah, but you know, I was worried that I said, let's save for your birthday. Mm. So it's okay also.
You're still saving.
Exactly.
But it's for
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
So I had also very similar, one of my mentees, she can't spoil herself. And there is a bag, a Louis Vuitton bag that she wants.
Yes.
But she said she just feels too guilty buying it. Mm. So we've created a fund to start saving towards it. Mm. So it's the same thing. So that when you reach the number, you feel like you deserve it. Because it's all about tricking our minds, isn't it? But you get some people just stick it on the credit card and they say, well, I'll figure it out. But there are other people who just don't believe they are worthy of spending money on themselves. And there you have to trick your mind into saying, actually, you are worthy because you worked for it. You put the money and saved the money towards it. So we're often dealing with these psychological issues, actually, and because money is all very, very psychological. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely, Maya. And yeah, I'm a believer on spoiling myself, you know, but doing it responsibly and delaying the gratification for sure. Yeah.
Mm. And one of the challenges, of course, with spoiling yourself, and I had a few mentees this year who are single women with no children. And they, let me just tell you, by the way, if you do not have children, you have a lot of extra money. But what they were finding is that their families now expected them to do more for the extended family. It was like, oh, but it's fine. You don't have kids, so you can do more for us. And the demands from family is another theme that I picked up this year.
Oh, yeah. One of the mentees, she is not in financial trouble whatsoever. She is so good with her budgeting. I mean, she likes cricket and rugby. She even has pockets to say, okay, I know it's rugby season this time around. I'm buying tickets. I'm saving for it. Because she doesn't have children, her family, every once in a while, those who do have children say, hey, well, Maya, we know you don't have kids, so clearly you have quite a lot of money. And I said to her, surely, because you've brought it up in this session, it's something that bothers you. Because she's like, I'm actually not able to save as much as I want to because I know that I always have to help out. So that's one. But also, even with her, they had this storage, right, that they were all paying, contributing towards. Now she doesn't need the storage, but she keeps on paying for it because, oh, what will my family say? And one thing that worked with her is giving her deadlines to say, you are going to action this. You are going to call your family and tell them that, you know, I no longer need this, so you are going to have to split it amongst you. But I found that even with the program, sometimes people just need someone who will give them permission.
They need permission. Exactly. Yes. Listen, I'm somebody who often needs permission. I often phone Mapelo for permission. So I think that finding somebody who can give you permission, I was actually remembering a story you were telling me about a broadcaster that you know.
Yes.
Who also, if she would fly to Cape Town on holiday and then her family would say, oh, but you, how can you afford to do that? We need money.
Yeah.
And there's this constant, you know, guilting.
Absolutely, Maya. And she is doing well for herself, but she didn't have the amount of money that people thought she had. Because that's another thing. When you're a broadcaster, people think, oh, or they see you on social media or on TV, people think, oh my goodness, multi-millionaire, billionaire even. And she would have these uncles and aunts and everybody else, extended family, who would call her, hey, Maya, can you give me X amount? Mm. And eventually, when she learned to say no, eventually, because it was a process, before she would feel guilty, like, oh, okay, you know, I don't have that many responsibilities. I can make a sacrifice here. But eventually, when she learned to say no, let's say she would book herself a flight to Cape Town for a holiday or sometimes even with work, right? She would get a call immediately because I saw that you were in Cape Town, but you told me that you don't have money. So for me also, there's that entitlement sometimes that comes with our families that we must be quite vigilant about.
So one of my mentees had taken even a step further where she had used her credit score to open up cards and loans for families. So the family would come to her and say, I need a 50,000 rand loan, but I don't qualify. Will you open up in your name and I'll repay it? Now, they were actually paying it, thank goodness, because often it usually happens they don't, but it was shooting her credit score out because she looked over indebted. Because when you look at it,
bad debt.
Because you would look at it and saying, well, yes, the payments are being met, but you're spending 80% of your income on debt repayments. She wasn't because the family were paying it. But so we've had to say, well, you can't keep doing this because you're not wanting to buy a home. It's affecting your credit score. So do you think there's a psychology behind it? And I think, unfortunately, women are particularly bad at this, of wanting to be liked.
Yes. You don't want to be the bad guy. You don't want to be the bitch. And so we say yes to things that we should have said no to. And often that makes us resentful. We eventually become resentful, right? But what I've learned, even, you know, throughout the years, speaking to a lot of people who didn't have boundaries, right? That people will not die if you say no, number one. And also, it will take a couple of maybe weeks, months, especially for those repeat offenders. I call them repeat offenders, the ones who call you for everything. You know, when you get their call, the only thing they're calling you for is money. The first time you say no, it will be very difficult. The second time, very difficult. The third time, difficult, but not very difficult. The fourth time, when they come, And it even deters them because now they know that, you know what, I've been getting a couple of no's. Perhaps this is not the person to go to. Trust me, repeat offenders, they always find their next person who will say yes, right?
I always find the first three. After three no's, usually they're getting the message.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But do you think there's also a way for people to plan for family responsibility? So one of the big things is a lot of people are supporting their parents.
Yeah.
And I've always said, well, commit a certain amount that you give your parents so that they know and they can rely on that money. Also have an emergency fund because the medical bills suddenly that, you're going to help them out, right? You're going to help an emergency. So I think some of it is also just making sure you've got a little bit of a backstop yourself so that if you are dealing with an emergency situation, you can at least assist. And also another one is around education because paying it forward. So if your nieces and nephews are going to get a decent education, then at least you know your sister is not going to be relying on you, right?
Yes.
So some of that can be making, starting a little bit of a fund so that you can help with registration costs. So, but it starts to become something that you're empowering yourself and you've saved towards and you can commit to rather than being an ATM, rather than just giving these random calls. Do you think there's a way that we can integrate that into the...
I'll give my own example, Maya. My own sister helped with registration fees. She helped with some of the school fees when I was in university. But I think sometimes we talk about the person giving most of the time. We forget to direct conversation to the one being gifted. I think there's a massive responsibility on someone who's receiving help, right? To say, and I'm using my own example, I thought I'm getting the help. Yes, my parents are paying, but my siblings are also chipping in. I do not want this to continue for more than 3 years. So I had an end date to when I want to be receiving help. Yes, here and there, as I started my career, I would still need assistance, but I knew that I had to complete my degree, right? I knew it was a responsibility that I had. And I wanted one day for me to help somebody else. So I think maybe let's have a different conversation when it comes to helping family. Yes, some people, they have to continue helping their parents. That's a different case. But for young, mobile people, take some responsibility also for not just always taking and receiving, receiving. Have an end date for yourself to say, when do I want to be the one giving the help?
I was thinking about when we were at the JSC Invest and one of the speakers was talking about I think it was a lecturer of hers or something who had helped her with her fees. She had a very bad financial year. She couldn't afford to pay her fees and he paid it. And many years later, when she was very successful in her career, she found him. And he actually, he was struggling a bit financially and she had calculated if he had invested that money and for the return he would have had, and she gave it back to him as a lump sum.
I am getting goosebumps.
So that is about gifting. Yes, when you receive something, appreciate it and find a way to pay it forward or pay back or to make a difference in someone else's life. And I think you're right. That's a very important approach.
Absolutely, Maya, 100%.
Well, Mapalo, I feel a bit sad. This brings us, it's the end of season two. It's the end of our second, well, we've actually been doing this for 3 years, but we've done two seasons
podcasts.
Yes. And I really hope for the listeners and those who followed it that this has added value to your lives. I think we've had some amazing conversations. And for those of you who may only be listening to this for the first time, go back to season one, go back to season two, listen to them. I promise you the value of the information and content will be, it will transform your lives.
No, absolutely, Maya. As always, I've thoroughly enjoyed it and I've just loved seeing the transformation of all the mentees and they have such good stories.
Absolutely. So remember to go back and listen to all those amazing stories.
Cheers for now.